Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Greetings, trashlings, and welcome back to another episode of Space Trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus. It don't say we're all more.
And I'm Molly Malshine, and so we're here to talk about the last two episodes of The Idol.
The series in total. Like, now the that we've completed this five-episode, but somehow very long journey.
Yes. I just read a review in New York Magazine, Vulture, positing that it's going to become a camp classic, a la Valley of the Dolls and Showgirls. And I feel like with this ending, I can see it.
It's so funny. I didn't read that review, but that's exactly the thought that I had. I'm like, or you know what my thought was? I was like, oh, this is going to be like the, like another generation's Donnie Darko, where it's okay. Like everyone watched, like the generation younger than us that didn't see it when it first came out is going to discover it. Like the same way that we found like Wet Hot American Summer, like a little bit after that, or the Jews in college. I don't know if you did, but like we've a camp movie, but like they were a little bit older than us. Like, so we had to like stumble upon it ourselves. I feel like the younger generation, not much younger, but is going to like revere this. And I do think it will go down as a cult classic. I think it's just one of those things where it's like, it's so bad, but there's a sense of like covering their asses for the badness where you actually then can argue that it's so bad that it's good.
Yeah. So like, what did you think of the plot twist? The plot twist is that Lily Rose was the cult leader all along. And like, she was also, she was pulling his strings while he thought he was pulling her strings.
So I thought that was clearly a hardcore audible, because we also know that it was supposed to be six episodes. So that last episode is two episodes cut into one episode from a script that we know was already changed from the entire first version.
Yeah.
I feel like that was look, I don't care if she's the cult leader. I like that. But if her mom's been beating with her with a brush for her whole life, she was going to buy new versions of the brush. Like, for him to be like, wait, the brush, like they lost me at the brush. Like, for that to be the detail, that's the big review. This brush is brand new. It's like, first of all, you already fucking smacked her with it. Second of all, just because it's the brand of the brush that her mother beat her with. I don't know if it was that brush. I don't know about you. I'm in a hotel room right now. I've got 30 brushes. They come and they go, but I know what brands I like.
I think the idea we're supposed to take away is that her mom never even beat her ever.
I don't think that's true because of the Xavier story.
Xander. Troy Sivan. Oh, yeah, because he said that he did witness it. But did he say he witnessed it?
Well, it's not even that he witnessed it. It's more that he was saying that, like, the reason that I don't have a singing career anymore is because this ice queen and her mom wrote me into contracts I was not allowed to. I just also want to say, like, Troy, and like, you're not competing with Jocelyn. Like, gender aside, you're boy and a girl. Yeah. Like, you're not the same market.
I think that it's plausible based on now knowing that the character was like a Disney villain manipulator, that she made it up, the abuse, and it never actually happened. Because Troy Sivan never said that he witnessed it with his own eyes. He just said that he knew it about it. So it's like, she could have been running a long con from the beginning of pretending that her mom was abusing her in order to get sympathy and stuff. Because
was she always the villain from the beginning is what I want to know, Amy Simons. Because to me, that felt like one of those twists. I was laughing, getting ready to discuss with you that he was the victim in the end. Ah, thanks, guys. Like, lol. I didn't hate it, actually, but it made me laugh. I was like, oh, actually, she's been the bad one this whole time. It's like,
yeah, and
come on, let him be the bad guy.
Yeah, and he's still the bad guy. He's not good. Like it's like not,
they're both bad. They're actually now both bad.
Yeah, like they're both bad. Now I did like the twist, because then when you think back to the beginning, it actually is apparent the whole time. Like a lot of the criticisms I had about ways that her character didn't make sense is like, oh, this is exactly why. But here's what I don't get. Why did she have sex with him to begin with? Like, and why is she keeping him around now? And she said, like Lily Rose says in the post episode thing, that Jocelyn is someone who uses other people and she just like devours them, and that's how she gets her inspiration. And it's like, well, that's not really a real person. That's why this is like a camp. That's why this is a work of camp. It's like that is
100%.
That's a complete fabrication from the
whole thing's cartoonish.
Yeah, the minds of men who like they would think that, oh yeah, we're going to blow the lid off the idea that all these pop star women who we think are so victimized are actually the ones in power all along. And it reflects the conversation with the intimacy coordinator in the first episode.
Yes.
Where he's so like, no, right. You don't understand, Jocelyn. You're very vulnerable right now, even though you have a tremendous amount of power, because you're on the set, you're vulnerable. And she's like, what are you talking about? So like, it's like, if you look at it on its own, without thinking of what the deeper meaning might be, it's just like sort of a psychological thriller, interesting story. Oh, cool. She was the villain the whole time. But then when you look at the fact that, like, I don't know, what are these guys, these two men who are like the creators, trying to really say about the music industry and women in the music industry? And that's when you start to get like,
yes.
Oh, man.
Well, because it's such like, it's actually still not empowering for Jocelyn. It's like a male fantasy of what women's power would look like, which is like, you accept our trash, like you accept our abuse because you're abusive too. It's like basically just like the reactive abuse forgiveness plan, sort of. Right. Like, it's like, do you know what I mean? It's like, okay, now we both abuse each other, so we're good. Like, and I like, just get this. Go ahead. Sorry.
And her hypersexualization, it was just like so over the top. When she does the lap dance type choreography for Eli Roth at the end, it was just like, where did that come from? And like, props to Lily Rose for giving that her all. But it was
Lily
cringe.
Rose had a fat ass. She is actually, that is her body type. She has a great fucking ass. Blown away by a skinny girl's ass.
That dress, to be 22 and wear that dress.
I die.
Oh, good. Go
every
Lily.
Day. Her legs, I kill
God,
for her legs.
God bless her.
And she really is. I think this is going to be an awesome launch pad for her, because no matter what people say about the show, objectively, I think she was awesome and really watchable. And I'm so interested to see more from her. And I thought she was great. I guess the thing I was going to say before is like, the reason I thought the last episode was so, it's not the twist that I minded. It just seemed like this very hurried, like closing of the threads that they started that seemed so lazy, so last minute. I want to know if that was the plan the whole time. I do not know, because
I think it was.
Surely Sam and Abel could have thought of something better than this is a new brush. After he already, I don't know. That just to me was like, what? Like the brush is the big reveal. Like,
well, I guess so.
Because it's also like the thing about Troyan. It's not that Troyan saw the abuse or not, but the Weeknd is the only one that empowered, or what's his real name? Montague.
In the show, his name is Tedros.
No, his real name. That was the other thing. I feel like this is a VPR watching crowd. The whole show being based on the fact that you can't make up your own nickname is so relevant to the Mo in reality TV.
Oh, Mauricio Jackson.
Mauricio Jackson. His family's not even Italian, though. Lol. But I felt like, first of all, yeah, I felt like the strongest statement was like, you're not your nickname overall, which is lol. But I also thought, yeah, I just was curious, like, was this always the plan? Because if it was, you surely could have planted better seeds to sprout in the end, other than like, wait a second, this hairbrush that I've already used on you is brand new. But Troyan was a great singer, is a great singer.
Troy Sivan.
Why do I think his name is Troyan? That's funny. Troy Sivan wasn't singing. he heard him in the shower. He sort of like creep cornered him. Then she wasn't going to take him on the road as her opener. She didn't even put him in the talent show at the end. And the point of the end to me was just like a very, I actually thought that was funny. I thought it was a very clear like farce. It was just basically like trying to demonstrate how sick and sexualized the industry people are. And like, I'm your, as your father figure, I'm so turned on. I take a cold shower was kind of like the point. And she's like, oh, if I just make him want to fuck me, then this tour is on. And so that was like a great success. But yeah, I thought that like Troy was sincerely injured by Jocelyn and her mom, because based on the show, from what I think they were trying to share, is that until Tedros came into the picture, he was never going to sing again because Lily banned it. She said, not allowed.
Yeah, I think he was genuinely hurt by Lily and her mom, but I don't think that the mom was abusive. I think that she knew that like this was the kind of thing that would get her to the next level at a moment when her career is kind of at a weird, in a weird place, because people don't know who she is. She's trying to be super sexy. She doesn't know what to do. And
but do you think she was sincerely surprised to find out that their meeting wasn't random? Like it was, because even in the show, the way it's written, it's a pretty fast move to go from, I thought this guy just found me in the club, to wait, it was a setup, to I've been masterminding this all along. It's like, wait a second. Like what a fast pivot from Jocelyn.
I think it's, yeah, because she thought that she was plucking this guy from obscurity, and she was like, this guy,
oh.
I think she knew he was kind of nuts from the beginning, but she also was getting off on the fact that like, he was clearly obsessed with her. And like, he was bringing all these acolytes along who she could turn into her followers. And then when she finds out,
he meant to do that the whole time.
What?
So he meant to do that the whole time too. They both got what they wanted.
Yeah. But the thing that made her be like, oh, I need to nip this in the bud now. I need to stop this now, was finding out that he thought he was in control because he was the one who orchestrated the meeting through Diane.
But he clearly did think he was in control, and actually he was in control. Like,
but she was letting him. She, remember when they were in Valentino and he's jerking off and she's laughing at him? She has thought he was ridiculous the whole time, but she also is so fucked up and weird in the head that like she was just doing it anyway. She was doing it all for the bit. She was mining him and all these people's lives for inspiration for her new era. And she was just trying to become like, when they were giving
I see what you're saying. Okay. Yeah. She was upset about how they met, but from the beginning, she was like, I can get a lot from these people. I'm going with it.
Yeah, exactly. She was sort of orchestrating and setting up like this commune in her house, because she was like, whatever, let me play with these peons for a little bit and see if I get any good ideas out of it. And then when she found out that he actually did get the first meeting to happen, she was like, well, fuck this. I don't want this guy to think that he's in charge. So that was why she started to push him out.
Okay. So, cause like, he clearly did think he was in charge, but when she found out that like, it was a fact that he felt that he had a bigger plan, and she's like, no, I let you come in here and be abusive as a bit, but like, when I find out that you're abusive on purpose because you think you're going to come own me and my friends, now I'm pissed.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay. Very Scorpio. This is a very Scorpio, and they're both Scorpio moons, so we know that they're in the same zone when it comes to the repressed dark. I mean, the other song that was so comical to me was that last one that it opens with, where it's like, choke me, hurt me, make me not breathe, choke me till I die, choke me till till I'm blue in the face. I don't care if you injure my body, just let me have sex one time. Like, that was like the most, like, it was the most blatant comedy song I think I'd ever heard.
And that other song that was like, I don't want to decide things for myself.
Oh my god, right.
That needs to be a viral TikTok sound of like someone just, you know, acting like a baby. Do you know what I mean?
Literally, yes, it is camp. It actually is camp. And like, even like, I was thinking too, that scene at the end where she's doing that dance for the what's his name, Fish,
Eli Roth.
Fishman, Fleischman, Eli Roth's character. So she was doing that. She did that, like this part where she was like, and her eyes like were at the back of her head. And I was like, not only is she the fucking best star I've ever seen, I like rewind it and watch it again. I rewind it. I watch it again. I say, wow, how many takes did she do this? And it's so fun. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Where it's like her eye, like every time she flips her head up, her eyes are into the back of her head. Oh my, Lily is a dancer. Lily is an artist. She's great. But I was thinking like, that's such a memeable clip. Like that's such a usable clip.
Yeah. I think that like people are going to start learning the dance and it's going to become like a viral thing because it's so silly. Like
should we start it? Should we start it?
If you want to learn it,
we learn the dance. No, well, I'll do it with together, and then we could do the dance on like Zoom and put it up.
Yeah,
I would do that like tonight. Like I'm down. We'll do it the Moonwall. Teach everybody the dance. Oh my god, I love that.
Do it. It's a good idea. But there was like two false abuse allegations. It was like, all right, Sam Levinson, why are you so obsessed with false rape accusations and assault accusations? Like, what? Why are you guys so obsessed with that? What's the deal? What's going on?
Yeah, we know what porn he watches.
Yeah, and now poor Rob's career is over.
Right. Now, Rob, I've been following since he did the other pornographic film, Love, by that super pornographic French director. I don't remember his name. And then he married and then divorced very quickly Zoe Kravitz, Carl, whatever, Gustav or something. Carl.
Oh, that was Zoe Kravitz's ex-husband?
Yeah, like flash pan marriage, but that was him.
Oh, my God. I was just, the only thing I noticed about him was like the ongoing HBO tradition of hiring really bad actors to play actors like Vinny Chase and Entourage.
Okay, 100%. And well, but that's the thing. I think that's where it's tongue in cheek because it's like they're making fun of the whole thing's making fun of itself.
Yeah, I got. Yeah. He was so wooden. It was crazy.
So hilariously wooden. And then even like the scene where Troy was setting him up was so bad. Like it was like, wait, dude, like, let me just get this like picture of like, and she's like, hey, and she comes and kisses him. They set him up, you know? And I just thought, this is also like, it's done with such little precision. Like all these industry people planting stories. And it's like, it takes nothing to do this. So that's very telling of what The Weeknd wants us to know about the industry.
Him and Sam Levinson. Yeah. And like the way that Lily Rose's character is like, well, where's the proof? And there just isn't any proof. And it's like, yeah, no, actually they wouldn't airbrush him out of the movie just on the basis of like an accusation and a photo of him and that girl. Like it wouldn't happen. The Flash just came out with what's his name still starring in it after they allegedly
a Marvel hero. He stole a kid.
Right. And like, didn't have
there to was an Amber Alert out on Ezra Miller, but his movie is a blockbuster, so it's okay.
Right, exactly. Like, this is not like the incendiary social commentary that you guys think it is.
Right. But see, that's what I'm wondering, like, because it's like, okay, if this was the plan from the beginning, then I think part of what Abel wants us to know is like, not everything you hear about these horrible men, these creepy men, are true, guys. Like, not every rumor you hear is true, because there definitely are rumors about him that he's totally creepy. So like, I feel like there's something about, if this was the plan the whole time, for in his mind, where he's like, I know I'll look like this bad guy, but ultimately ultimately his character is actually equivalent to like a SoundCloud artist in the end. Like, he was facilitating and fostering the growth of unknown talent.
Yeah, he was.
You know, he was kind of playing himself.
I know.
In his house.
To give him credit where credit is due, I think it was really, you know how I was complaining last time we talked about this about all of the parallels to his life that are in the show versus him giving interviews being like, no, the guy is supposed to be creepy. He's not supposed to be me. Now I see why he made that choice to muddy the waters a little bit, because the whole point of the show is who's the idol and who's the mark.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So like, it's kind of cool that he also was like, I'm going to have my real life blend into this show, but it's also not me. And it's just going to make everything sort of confusing from the jump. That was a cool choice, I thought, even though almost nothing was pulled off. But
I mean, I'll
still
say, for a 5-episode, we have never walked through a series before. We could not help but comment on this. It's the thing that's being commented on.
Right.
And
that makes it
in
good
that way. And that's also like, in a way, it's like equivalent to pop music, where it's like it or hate it. It's what you're talking about.
That's so true. What a great point. What a great point. What a great
point. I think that was the point of this sort of satirical, but still kind of bop music that he produced for it, because it's like, yeah, if you listen to the lyrics, it is like, wait, what? It is like so violent, so abusive, like so dark, but it's like sung in this sort of like sing songy voice, you know, or whatever. I don't know if Lily can actually sing, but like they made it, I thought it sounded okay. It was kind of just showing like, look, as long as it's like wrapped in a pretty package and it looks good, or it's on HBO, or it's pushed out by the labels, you're all going to just not even think about it and love it and take it in. And we're all being sort of assaulted by the industry in some way. And as long as it sounds good, we don't care.
Yeah. I really liked The Weeknd's cover of Jealous Guy by John Lennon.
It has been in my head the whole time. And then did you notice too, that they had Troy sing
George Harrison's
My Sweet
song.
Lord, which I know you hate, but isn't that interesting that it's both?
No, I love that.
Right. I love that album. Like
I love his solo stuff.
But I think it's really interesting that, because like obviously Abel did the, I respect him now, he's Abel, did the music, and he picked, the two covers that he picked are two Beatles songs after they were in the Beatles. There were two solo career songs. What do you think that means?
Right. I mean, I know. I mean, I think I would like to think that he knows that to even attempt to cover a Beatles song is blasphemy. So he was like, how do I get, you know what I mean? Like, so yeah, like the solo stuff is fair game more or less, but like to cover a Beatles song is like, what the hell are you doing? Like,
it's almost like the only way to pay homage to any of them is to do it on their individual tracks, because you just can't do what they did. And, unless you're like, you know, like the Shirelles, or the Chiffons, right, or like just some black doo-wop group from that time period that was trading back and forth the songs.
Right. Because the Beatles were already like stealing from them anyway.
100%. Yeah.
Yeah. But
right,
yeah,
right, actually, it's not that they're doing the Beatles. It's actually the Beatles stole it from them.
Yeah, exactly. I really liked the scene, the talent show scene, like the showcase, I guess. That was really good. Ramsey came out of nowhere. I feel like that poor girl was on the cutting room floor. It must have been very tattoo-ridden cutting room floor.
No, I was 100%. No, I was literally, when Ramsey performed, I was like, who is this? She's great. Like, wow. Another one.
Where did her subplot go? Like, what happened?
Who in the 12 episode version, who was Ramsey? Who was Ramsey going to be? You know, like the family girl, Crocodile. She got her own story. She's great. She's a star. But yeah Ramsey. Really, what happened with Ramsey? What was Ramsey's plot line? To know.
There were so many funny moments too that like, I just wish someone funnier was in charge, because like the moments when the girl, Chloe, the crocodile and family girl is dancing is so hilarious. She's dancing around in that thong, like trying to be sexy. Yes. So funny. When I think it was when Mike Dean gets out of the car and he, or maybe it was the lawyer, I can't remember. It might have been Hank Azaria, but someone gets out of a car and literally pulls out a bong and like from the driver's seat rips a bong while standing up out of the car. It was just like, what 14-year-old wrote this? And like, it seems like that's supposed to be funny, but just the way they shoot it is not played for laughs. But I guess that's why it's camp. It is camp,
right? Because actually one could make the argument that it's such a parody of the industry that like these people are taking themselves seriously. They're not doing it with a wink and a nod. They're doing it like dead up, and like, so they did it dead up. Like, yeah, grab the bong, I just drove.
But then you have stuff that's genuinely funny, like all of Eli Roth's lines at the house.
Yeah, he was very funny. And Jane Addams, so funny. I thought the scene where they were talking about how like they buried him, I thought that was a little on the nose, but I thought it was, I put a smile on my face, like sitting alone here, like, huh, like that's funny. Cause they're like, yeah, we ruined his life. Like, I just thought he was really trying to show like, this is what these people are like. And it's actually like in the end, who's the actual bad guy? The industry's the bad guy.
Yeah. And it was kind of showing how they were in the dark too with Lily Rose's master plan. And it's like, it's kind of like, so I was wondering, this is where I was also thinking a lot about Selena Gomez, because she has had a lot of very like high profile sympathy plays from her fan base. Like, she is constantly courting sympathy in the way that like Lily Rose was with the video.
Give me an organ. I need an organ. Lupus, give me an organ.
So after The Weeknd dated her, and we've talked already about all the biographical similarities between this character and Selena Gomez, after The Weeknd dated her, he had an album that came out that everyone was speculating that all the songs were about Selena Gomez and Bella Hadid and how he was with Selena in between Bella relationships. And he says, like, he has some lyric that's like, I can't believe I almost cut a part of me off for you. Like, he was thinking about donating the kidney.
No.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. I feel like part of this was, so he said to Sam,
okay, I would jump to thinking that he was like, I almost left Bella, my real girl, for you. I didn't even think about the kidney storyline. That really adds a layer.
Right. But also, I haven't looked into the timing. Maybe it doesn't work out timing wise. No,
let's spread that rumor, though. I really like that.
I feel like he's trying to send up Selena Gomez a little bit in this show.
He's like, sure. Selena's not that innocent. Now, what I really want to know is, did Abel Tesfaye give them the video of Selena and Justin buying crack in the hood?
Right. Allegedly.
Allegedly. Somebody gave that video to them, though. And like, somebody had access
to it. Or was
the person
who shot the video.
Oh, right. That's true. I'm just saying, like, there's been so many rumors about Justin and Selena and Justin. I sort of am like, is this just how the industry works? And you're just telling us, like, don't believe everything you read. And like, maybe in a way it was like, sorry, Sel.
Yeah. Like, I think he's saying she is like, she and many of these other pop girls are actually the masterminds behind this stuff. And they're actually the ones in power. And like, they're playing people and operating people like puppets. And like that, I feel like that was the larger message of the show. Was like, don't listen to these sympathy plays from celebrities because they're playing
celebrity women.
Right. Celebrity
the men,
women.
They're getting rape allegations and actually they're the muse.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I was laughing. I was like, he's the victim. I was tickled and I was like, you guys, like Sam, Abel, like lol, you guys, like way to not give a fuck.
Yeah, it was very incel. Like the whole project was very like, women are evil and they weaponize sex and they weaponize.
She's actually abusing the abuser.
Yeah, like they weaponize emotionality to get attention. Like this, the whole thing was very, but I don't want to read too far into it in that way because
because I literally think it was a last minute decision. I think that last episode, while I liked the twist, was one of those things that were like, okay, what are we gonna do? We gotta land this plane. Like
I felt like
the brush is just so bad. The brush to me is the ultimate clue that like, wait, because that's the only tidbit you had to like use.
But
that
I read, okay, so it was in a tweet and I'm sorry I can't remember the person because I wish I could give them credit, but someone was like, the first shot in the show, remember, we loved it. It was just Lily Rose emoting on cue, crying when she needed to cry, everything. And we were like, oh, they did this to show us that
Lily Rose has
the acting chops. But this person was saying they did it to show that she is the master manipulator from the beginning.
Oh,
the chameleon, and she can call on any emotion. And as you're watching it, you're like, especially in the last two episodes, there are so many moments when she does like a single tear and like, you're just like, okay, this girl's a great actor, but I think it's also meant to be like, look at how she changes on a dime. Like she's playing everyone around her.
Wow. Yeah.
I do think it was on purpose. I don't think it was a last minute thing. I think it was the whole plan the whole time, because I think that So the inspiration for the show came from The Weeknd saying to Sam Levinson, I could start a cult if I wanted to. And he was talking about how much his fans are obsessed with him. So I think that's the fans are the intrinsic part in that. And like, when you look at the way they use the word family, like when the Weeknd's character is like, we're a family and the root of family is from servitude. And then at the end, when she pulls him out on stage, she's like, I want to introduce him to my family. Charles Manson's cult was called The Family, which I was shocked they actually mentioned Charles Manson moving into the Beach Boy Dennis Love's house in the last episode. But
yeah.
So I think the whole thing came from The Weeknd saying to himself, like, if a pop star like me was to start a cult, what would that look like?
I guess then what I would want to know, and I feel like you have an answer to this, it's like, what is the difference? Like, couldn't you argue that he already, like, that every major pop star is a cult leader? Like, if you're part of the Beehive or if you're a Swiftie, you're drinking the Kool-Aid.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're in.
Well, I think it's like there's a fine line between.
And that's, I think, the question.
Yeah, that's the question. And that's what he's, because he's like with this show, the larger point that he's making, the fans don't come into the equation until the very last scene, you know? So right, like, right. He's kind of just showing how as a pop star, as a person who's functioning as their own standalone corporation, you have to have such utter control of the people around you in a cult-like way in order to kind of like have control over your life. Because if more powerful than these people around you, then you're going to get swallowed up by it. So it's like, you kind of have to be this sinister, snake-like, completely in control of your hypersexuality person. Like,
right. I was just going to say, because it's interesting because both Lily Rose and The Weeknd, like I said, they're Scorpio moons. And I feel like that is the, like, learning how to harness and express sexual power is very much, is a very Scorpio and Scorpio moon, you would know. Now we get it. Of course you got knocked up after the wedding. No, but it's like sexual control is what they were, I think, assigning power to. Like, it was like power to control relies on your ability to appear to be exploiting yourself sexually or exploiting others. Because like his whole thing was like control and domination, like most short men do. Mm-hmm. And her whole thing was like submission, like abuse me, use me.
But she then was it, like, in control.
It twisted
the
at the
time.
End. She right. It twisted at the end where she was like, gotcha.
Right.
And she like, did have. I own you. I own you now. And he was like, blah, 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 blah. What's really funny to think about, though, is the actual shooting of those two shots. Like, can you imagine before a Weeknd concert being like, OK, real quick, we're going to do this shoot from this new show. And he's like playing this sort of dork with a braid. Like, I think it's really funny to think of his parents being like, what are we watching? Lily Rose like, hello, you all. And everyone's like, woo. And then like the Weeknd comes out like with bad posture, like all confused at his own acting, confused at his own show, playing this part and then being hurt on stage. And then the show starts. I just think it's really funny to think of that. Like, hey, thank you guys for watching my big show. Like,
yeah, it is really funny
that he did acting with a braid in front of his fans. Because those were shot. I watched the after the episode too.
So yeah.
Those were shot at it. I just thought it was so funny to think about them at it. Like, imagine going to a concert and then be like, hey, you guys, we're doing this kooky thing for HBO. And then it's like he's acting and he's like played out right before the show starts.
Yeah. It's so funny.
Love that.
Yeah, I think it also, like, the plot twist explains a lot of the stuff earlier on when we were thinking, like, she is pushing back against him when he's trying to control her sometimes. So,
like, well, she was this, like, your guy.
Yeah, and when he was, like, sometimes he would tell her to do stuff and she would just be like, no, I'm not doing that. And it was like, okay, so she actually was, every time she did submit to him, it was her being in control because she was submitting.
Because she's making a choice. Well, actually, I will say in the BDSM community, believe it or not, the submissive partner is actually the dominant partner. Because if you're going to choose the role of submissive, then if you do
you're
like
in
ethical,
charge.
Right. Ethical BDSM means that you're giving someone permission to treat you this way and that you are responsible for setting the boundaries and the code words, the safe words, and the like. Being a submissive is actually the more dominant position in a healthy BDSM relationship.
Right. Because you're saying, I'll let this person pretend they're the alpha for a couple minutes until I decide.
But here's my
over.
Safe word. Right. Here's my safe word. Here are my boundaries. Here's what you can and can't do. I'm actually setting the groundwork. And now I'm giving you homework, which is to take care of me during, before, and after in a particular way.
Yeah. And so that is what I think.
Hyper controlling.
Exactly,
yeah.
That's exactly what they were going for with this. But my only question is, why does she bother to keep him around at the end? Why?
Because I think she does fall in love with him.
I don't think so.
I think she's like, we're both sneaky in the same way. And actually low key, she was like bereft of like talent and ideas before he did become her muse.
But again, I think
they should have given us more information about what her career was like before him.
The only reason. Yeah. That's
like we didn't hear a single hit of hers. We don't know where she's coming out of.
I know. I think we're supposed to take it that she's doing her. This is her Christina Aguilera dirty era.
Okay.
Or her Miley Cyrus, Robin Thicke moment. Like she's
or even the Selena album where she did that cover nude.
Yeah. Like this is her first foray into being a hypersexualized pop girly after sort of teen stardom.
Disney. Right. Yeah. Right. Because that's the whole thing was Disney girls.
Yeah. But I think
I've been a fan of you since I was 16. Right. She was a child star. Forgot.
Yeah. The thing is, I don't think he really was her muse. I think there was nothing he did or said to her that actually affected her. She was getting off on playing him and making him and play acting. What would it be like if I started sleeping with this sleazy club manager? Wouldn't that be hilarious? And what kind of songs would I write about it? Like, it wasn't about really genuinely who he was as a person. It was like, let me try.
I disagree.
On this lifestyle choice.
I disagree. I think the reason that she kept knocking him, you're not Raquel, you're Rachel, is because she was like, I'm not interested in Tedros. You discovered all of this talent. Like, he arguably was the best music manager in the show. Like, those artists were great and he found them and produced music for them. And I think she saw him as the talent that he was, which he was actually not leading with. He was like, no, I'm a cult leader. And she was like, no, you're just the producer.
Yeah, but she didn't know that until like halfway through.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So like,
yeah. Like at first, I think she was like, yeah, like at first she was like, let me just.
Right. Maybe this will be like tabloid wild.
Yeah. This sleazy guy. And then after she found out. Yeah, I agree. What about the subplot of Diane, the K-pop girly, Jenny? She like, it was interesting because everyone loves that music. She's a real girl in a K-pop band. And
that bitch can dance.
Yeah, she's really good. And she's really
great.
Pretty.
Yeah, I really like her.
But so all these, it's so funny. It's so interesting how much people love her and stan her, because all these people were like, I can't believe Jocelyn screwed her over. That was so fucked up. And it's like, she tried to steal Jocelyn's lead single.
Yeah. Also, Jocelyn didn't screw her over. The industry's fucked up. That's like the larger point that like,
no, Jocelyn did screw her over, because remember at the end.
Because they said she was going to sue her for.
Yeah. They were like, we're having some.
And that was Jocelyn.
Issues. And it was, and she goes, it was Jocelyn, wasn't it? And it's like, of course it was. Why?
That was like that was the last line of the whole series, wasn't it?
No, the last line of the whole series was her saying, you're whatever she said.
Oh,
you're
right.
Mine,
right. She had her funny girl moment. Yeah. That was funny girl. Like, best case scenario. That's what Barbara Streisand thought she was doing in Funny Girl. And then it was like, he's still in jail. We're cutting it for the Broadway show. Bye, man. Did you think that, like, I guess, like, the I guess to me, again, like, just there were pieces, though, that I just felt like the Leia character. Shout out, Rachel. You did great. We're really proud of you down here.
Really good.
In the comedy bar scene in New York. We're proud of our breakout star. Now, they had that shot in the elevator where Rachel's haunting Jocelyn. She's standing behind her as if she's about to stab her with a knife. What did she think of the song? She loved it. And then at the end, it's like she wrote her a letter that was like, bye, I guess. I feel like that was such a wasted opportunity. Like, what happened with the Leia character? Like, she just bowed out. Like, I just felt like that I was left with. And that shot of them in the elevator seemed so pointed. And then with no there was no payoff. There was no. You know what I mean? Like, she did seem psychotic in that shot. And it was so different than how she's been portrayed for the rest of the series. Like, she was really scary back there. Like, what did she think of the single? Like, haunt. Like,
well,
like,
I think
behind you.
One of the ideas that I think we were supposed to pick up on is like, Leia is no better than this new crop of hangers on. She's just been there longer. And she has more history with her, because like that scene where the Weeknd is like, oh, you have a what's that meeting? Cancel this meeting. And she's like, oh, it's me and Jocelyn's beauty collab. Like, it's actually really important. And he's like, why is it important? It's important to you. And it's like, oh, yeah, she is also profiting off of Jocelyn. Like, she is no better than all these other ones. And like, the reason why I think she leaves and the Troye Sivan character stays is because Leia, she was happy to be, you know, kind of Jocelyn's toady in this previous phase of her career. Now it's going in a way that makes her uncomfortable. Whereas Troye Sivan is like, no, I'm staying glommed onto this machine. And I,
do you think it's because she just didn't want to keep fucking that dude? She's like, Isaac, sure, he can sing, but like, I feel a little taken advantage of.
Yeah, probably.
Do you think they used a body double for that doggy style scene or no? The Leia character played by Rachel Sennett is an interesting part for Rachel, because I do think that one of Rachel's selling points, aside from her talent, is that she's not shy. So I like to think that she actually did have simulated sex with that big, beautiful man.
Okay. Yeah.
That would be more on brand than not for her.
I felt like such a Catholic old lady watching that episode, because they were both just like, doing whatever these guys they just met wanted them to do. I was like, girls, you got to make them work for it a little more. Like, have sex on the first night by all means, but keep him missionary until he's proven himself.
Depends on how big my stomach is at the time, to be honest.
Why does it depend on that?
Because if I'm missionary and I'm on the bottom, then I'm just very present to how Kathy cartoon I am, versus when I'm on all fours, it's just a big fat ass, and I'm very comfortable with that.
Wow. I've never heard someone who feels more attractive.
Oh, beyond. Oh my God. Are you kidding me? I'm only good for turn around and bend over, please.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I just have a big fat ass.
That's really interesting.
Dumps like a truck.
Okay, well, you've given me a new perspective. I always think it's something that they need to earn the right, because
no, wait, you don't even have to make eye contact. You can be fucking texting. It's so impersonal. But
that's why they need to earn the right, because it is impersonal, and they're gonna think they got one over on you. They're gonna be like, oh yeah, did a doggy style with this girl, and it's like, no, you have to look me in the eye and accept who I am. So
That's so intense, dude. That's so, yeah, no. I'm actually much more casual about sex, I think. I would rather us not
I think
look
so
in the
too.
Eyes. I would rather not look in the eyes. I would ever, you know? So, you know, maybe okay. maybe at dinner, maybe while look me in the eyes when I'm making you laugh and tell me my joke is good. That's really gets me off. But like, nah, if we're doing sex, you could just turn me right around and I will literally keep writing my email. We're good.
So what do you think? What is your final thought? Because you have to go in 7 minutes.
I think 100% this will go down as a camp classic. No one is going to be able to stop talking about it. Everyone is going to hate on it for the next like 3 years. And then it will be merch in Marshalls.
Right. I think your earlier comparison to pop music in general was the most apt, that it's an earworm of a TV show. Even if you think it came from like a Swedish music factory with no soul whatsoever, it's still in your head.
Now, my last question for you, because I was the only part of it that I was a little bit like, oh, come on. And then I thought the same thing that you did, like, okay, but actually this is camp. was the montage at the end. What did you think of the montage at the end?
Oh yeah, that was so weird. It was like,
it was basically being like, no, this was not a toxic set. Look how much fun we had. That's like, yeah, what I felt, right, that they were like addressing. It was like, by the way, the set, so fun.
You're right. That's exactly why they did it. I was like, what is this, Saved by the Bell? Like, what are we doing?
It was literally like looking back on the times we had while shoot. It was like, it was like bloopers, except it was like good times.
Yeah.
And there was like a couple of silent shots from like Jane Addams, like really emoting, you know, like it was like they were just showing everybody like at their best. And it's like, all right. But that's where it's like, OK, so they did have another couple of episodes, or at least one episode. They have a ton of shit on the cutting room floor. You could take that whole last montage and probably cut scenes into it. Like if you used every shot as a prompt, you could probably write the sixth episode. Like I do like to think, if anything, maybe there are clues about like what the sixth episode might have been, would have been. Somebody, yeah, do that. Some incel, take that and run with it. Writing prompt.
But it definitely it definitely speaks to how tonally confused the show was in general. Like you go from this haunting shot of her standing alone, looking like Jesus in head to toe white. And then like 2 seconds later, it's everyone being like, remember the set, how fun it was. It's like, what is the tone? What is the tone of the show?
Well, and I think that the point of that was like the tone of the show is, don't believe everything you hear about the show. Don't believe everything you hear about pop music. Don't believe everything you hear about pop stars. Don't believe everything you hear about the industry. I'm just a jealous guy having fun.
Yeah. And the perspective was so confusing. Like, but
the perspective was really confusing.
It worked in a way. I think it was, here's my controversial take. I think the show was good.
I think it was good. I mean, yeah, I think it was good. I think, well, you know what it was? It was really sticky.
I
like define good, and good changes with the culture and with trends.
Right. But I mean, there's like, I think what you mean is like, there's two types of good. The one good is Disney movie, where I'm like, okay, I'm on along for the ride, hook, line and sinker. There's no
trust
subtext.
You completely. Yep.
Yeah. Or the subtext that there is, I get it immediately and I understand what the movie's about. And
the
every
priest has a tiny little chubby cock. I'm kidding.
No, yeah. And every little tiny twist and turn works. And it's good. But then the other good is like, you're still thinking about it and talking about it afterwards, even
that's
if you didn't enjoy it while you watched it every minute. So
which one might argue was the point of it. Like, yeah. I think Abel set himself up for success no matter what happened with this, because it was actually salacious and well stitched up enough that it gave us a lot to think about, a lot to talk about. And yeah, it's sticky. You think about it. I probably will rewatch it now. Like, oh, you fucking assholes. Like, okay, so it's not about Nielsen ratings anymore, but you want to see how many downloads you get in the first year? But there might be a season two. Who the fuck knows? Or there might be another, like I said, based on the astrology, there might be another collaboration in the works. Or I think Lily and Weekend fucking vibed. And the last thing I want to say just before we wrap up, any other thoughts on the idol? I have one thing I need to say before we wrap up.
I was going to ask you about the Moonule to tell us what's going on.
Oh, everybody come to the Moonule tonight. We are going to be having a Capricorn full moon ritual where may or may not learn the idol dance now. That was sort of an add-on just now, but I sort of love that for the group. But otherwise, we will be manifesting our dreams. We will be releasing the past. We will be doing some witch work, some tarot, some comedy, some cards, all of the good stuff. Definitely come. Go to @themoonule. The link is in the bio. And if you join the Patreon, I'm just going to post it right there as I always do, period.
What time is it at?
It's at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Oh, God. So late for me, but it makes sense for you.
I know.
Because
if you happen to be awake, like because your baby's kicking, just hit the Zoom. You know,
where
we're at.
Here's the thing that I need to ask you about for this Capricorn full moon, which you said is on the same degree as my son.
It's us, baby.
What does it mean that I have a glucose test tomorrow morning at 9:30 a.m. to see if I have gestational diabetes and I'm not allowed to eat from 10 p.m. until tomorrow mid-afternoon? I have to spend this full Capricorn full moon fasting to find out if I have gestational diabetes. What does that mean?
Look, at the end of the day, if you do, it's not the end of the world. Ultimately, after pregnancy, you'll just be thinner.
Not necessarily.
Oh.
I was thinking maybe the reason why my fasted glucose test got scheduled for the night of the Capricorn full moon is because Capricorn is the disciplinarian, and this is me getting permission to diet while pregnant.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. That's so you said it in different terms, but that's exactly what I'm saying. That's exactly what I'm saying. That it's kind of like, yeah, Ma, like curb your intake, curb your calories. I think you're fine, but I look forward to seeing what it is. And when I don't have a client right now, I will look into your chart in a mo and tell you. And if you're awake because your baby's kicking because you've been eating too much sugar after 10 p.m., hop on the moon. We'll talk
Sarah,
about it.
I don't eat sugar. You don't get gestational diabetes.
So then why
would eating sugar.
So how do you get it? How do you get it?
It's just a freak thing that happens to people. It has nothing to do with
eating sugar.
Yeah, it's a freak, yeah.
You're a freak, yeah.
Yeah, it's a freak, yeah.
But it's just crazy because my cousin who has like the same chart as you and is the same age as us also just got diagnosed with gestational diabetes.
Okay, well, I hope I don't get it from hearing that.
Wait, there's one thing I have to say though, real quick.
You have to go make money now.
Okay, but real quick, just for the patrons, I want everyone to know that I know, and join the Patreon so you know what I'm talking about, IYKYK, but I know that, I meant to say, I know that it's not Andy McDowell that was in Good Will Hunting. That was Minnie Driver. I meant to say, I love Groundhog Day. It's Andy McDowell.
Okay, thanks
so,
for
I just wanted to clear that up. So come to the Moon Yule tonight, and Molly, stay up late. We'll be there. Okay, you're a star. We're stars. Lily Rose, you're a star. The Weekend. Abel, we see you. We respect you. You're a freak,
We do.
Fuck, we actually do.
All right,
yeah.
Fine.
Creep on, creeper.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.